Amen. You may be seated. I ask now Brother Michael and those who are with him to sing or play with him. I ask him to come to the front. Here are two questions addressed to me. The first one, whether the time of grace for some countries has ended already, for instance, for the USA or for the Islamic countries. One just has to say in general, the time of grace is coming to its end in the moment where the rapture takes place. And then it is finished for all the countries. Then the second question in the circular letter, over 40 years of missionary work, you are writing of brothers who have come with various groups from various countries. Also, this was fulfilled from all of Eastern Europe. The Lord has called out His bride. And all who are ordained are hearing the word of the Lord. And all over there are ministering brethren who were ordained by God to give out the same spiritual food. Now we hear a song.
Danke vielmals.
Thank you very much.
Danke.
Thank you. Do we have another one?
Es ist einfach schön,
it's just nice.
Von Herzen mitsingen kann,
if one can tune in with all his heart,
kann,
tuning
in das, was
into that, what is being played.
Ich bete an die
I adore the power of love, which is manifested in Christ Jesus. And this love of God was manifested through the redemption, through the forgiveness, through the grace and salvation. More God could not do than what he did. Then there's John 3, verse 16. For God so much loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that all who believe on him shall not perish but have eternal life. Many times we have emphasized it. No one can live eternally except he has received eternal life. And only God has eternal life. And because God revealed himself to us in Christ Jesus, therefore it is written, he who has the Son of God has eternal life. And whoever has not the Son of God has not life. 1 John chapter 5, verse 10, 11, and 12. At this place, nothing is being preached, but only the pure truth, because only the truth sets free. And Brother Branham, he made a wonderful statement that a chain, for instance, you all know what a chain is. The weakest member in a chain, so that what it says here in the comparison with the promises of God, he says, if one puts something private into this chain, if one joins something with which is not
Glied, eine einzige Deutung, nur ein einziges
if one has only one single interpretation in it, in this chain, and then if one would pull on the chain, then it would break. So, only promise after promise, from the beginning up to the end. By the way, this is written in the sermon, The Harvest Time, especially on the end of page 17 and page 18. So, no own things, no own doctrines, no own interpretations, but only God's holy word in the original. And then most surely we will reach the destination. Brother Baumgartner, on Sunday, he gave me a piece of paper. Here it's written, time and again we were fed with a pure spiritual food. Very soon it will be manifested that it will be worth it, that you, according to the heavenly call, hast done for what the Lord has commanded you. More one doesn't need, just to do what the Lord commanded. Everything else he will do himself. He has the responsibility for everything. Please feel at home, all of you. The Lord blessed us in the past year. He has carried us through. And not only in the last year, in all the past years, God has taken care that everything was done according to His will and counsel. And it's really a couple of experiences which one likes to remember. You all remember it. At that time, the flight to India and from Bombay to Madras, I had the ticket in my pocket. And behold, Lake Street number 7. There I was sitting on this little desk. And as you are hearing my voice, my servant, cancel the trip to India. I actually didn't want to do it. I'm a man of the word. I believe it of me. And I just wanted, I didn't want to understand that this is an absolute now. I sat into my car. I drove to the forest. I went up and down. And I was asking and praying and said, Lord, is it not really possible? Can I not go on this journey? The brothers are waiting in all the cities. I returned, and I was just sitting down on the same chair. And then, with a mighty word, cancel the trip to India. We have read it in the newspaper. When the airplane on which my name was on the passenger list, when it took off from Bombay to Madras, right after takeoff, it went up in flames, and all 96 passengers, they perished in the flames. And I was kept. My time was not yet come. From all the years, I could report the one or the other of what God has done, how He led and how He blessed. Today we'll read a couple of scriptures to show us both. First, that the Lord will complete His work in victory. And also the promise from the prophet Malachi, which God fulfilled in our time. Also this, I've said many times, Brother Branham was only referring to Malachi when it was about the promise that God would send a prophet before the day of the Lord comes. So, at the end of the time of grace, not a single time he used and mentioned Matthew 17, verse 11, not a single time he mentioned Mark 9, verse 12. Brother Frank doesn't preach one sermon around the earth, not one, without that he takes the Old and New Testament, joining it together, showing that here God has promised in the Old Testament, and here the Lord confirmed it in the New, when He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, Elijah cometh first and restore all things. Brother Branham couldn't do it. He couldn't speak of him and his ministry. I can do it. I can say, here it is written, here it was confirmed, and we could witness it in our time by His grace. And because we mentioned now the promise from Malachi, let me say it here in all love, especially for all those who have difficulties with Revelation chapter 10. Let me say it very clearly here. In Malachi 3, verse 1 and 2, two totally different promises were given. The first, behold, I send my messenger before me, and he shall prepare the way before me. But the second, and the angel of the covenant shall come to his temple, even the Lord, whom ye desire. And whoever reads in the New Testament, he can do it from Matthew 11, Mark 1, Luke 3, verse 7. He can read it everywhere. In the New Testament, the first part was mentioned in connection with the ministry of John the Baptist, that this word from Malachi 3, verse 1, first part, is referring to him and his ministry. But the second part, up to today, is not fulfilled yet, that the Lord comes to his temple. And if I then goes to Revelation chapter 10, where the Lord, as the angel of the covenant, with a rainbow over his head, descends, putting his feet upon land and sea. He is the Creator. He is the original owner. And then he comes to that what belongs to him, to just repossess it. And then the second part comes to fulfillment. The angel of the covenant comes to his temple. And whoever goes to Revelation 11, verse 1, measure the temple of God, measure it. And those who worship in it and the outer court do not measure. If one looks at the word of prophecy, and if one recognizes the grace, seeing how God reveals the several scriptures very clearly, showing the connections in which they belong, then we can just say, how great thou art, how merciful thou art, that you speak in such a clear and pure way with us in this time. That we do not need to interpret one single scripture, not putting one interpretation into the chain of promise, but just leaving everything as God has put it in a wonderful order. And this is the special grace which the Lord has given us throughout all these years. Not being tossed to and fro with this or that wind of doctrine, not with interpretations about Revelation 10. I don't need any interpretation about Revelation 10. I believe in the literal fulfillment, and God will fulfill his word literally. Everything will take place just as he promised it in his word. And we, who we may live now, we have the grace to be gathered in the presence of God. From all over the world, we are coming together. Of course, not to hear a man or to see a man. But as we emphasized it last night, gather ye my people, so that they hear my words, and that they learn to fear me. Moses gathered the people, because God wanted to speak to the people. He made a covenant, and he came down in the pillar of fire to show them the way. In the same way, it happened, of course, in our time. And to this we just say, as the Scripture has said it already, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was it in the days of Abraham, in the days of Moses, when Moses was called, and when he was sent, he had one request. He said to God, if I go and say the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has sent me, then they will ask me, what is the name of him? Then they will ask me, what's the name of him? And then the Lord God gives the answer. Tell them, the I Am has sent me to you. This is my name and my title from eternity to eternity. And then all these I Ams up to Revelation 1 and the last chapter and the seven mighty I Ams in the Gospel of John. Our Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Doesn't matter how he reveals himself, whether as angel of the covenant, as the angel of the Lord, whether in the pillar of fire or in the pillar of cloud, whether he reveals himself in the flesh to be able to die. And this had to be because mankind has been lost. The fall happened in the body of flesh and blood, and therefore the Lord, because he made man fallible, therefore he had the responsibility for his redemption, and therefore he had to come personally. The Word had to become flesh, and the Lord had to step into the breach to make the damage well again and to give us the adoption into our original condition as sons and daughters of God. It's a wonderful plan of salvation of our God. And if one should ask here, why did God do it in such a way? Very simple. God didn't want to force anyone. God gave a free will to every man. He doesn't force anyone into heaven, but he says, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He calls. He doesn't force anyone. He calls. And we are passing on this call. Oh, this plan of salvation of our God, it's so wonderful. And all of us who we are gathered here at this place, and all who are connected online, the redemption is perfect. In the eyes of God, we are unaccusable, unrebukable, untouchable in the presence of God. We have been presented. And when the enemy should accuse, I give you the guarantee, the Lord and Redeemer, he will not look at him 1 second. He will just point to the blood, which is on the mercy seat. And then the accuser of the brethren, he has to go. I guarantee you, The Lord dealt with him only one single time. And this we heard in the word of introduction in Colossians, that the Lord God was in Christ and he disarmed all the powers of Satan, and he was triumphing over all these powers and principalities, and his victory is our victory. We are just grateful. Let us read some precious scriptures so that all may know it forever. Let me read firstly from Matthew chapter 12. I just read the verses 19, 20, and 21. Matthew 12, verse 19. He shall not strive. He shall not strive, nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench, till he sent forth justice unto victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. Until he sent forth the divine justice unto victory. Through Calvary, we have returned to our original right. It was a victory. And by the resurrection, our Lord confirmed what actually happened on the cross of Calvary. He has risen on the third day. He pulled out the sting of death. As written, as it was said to Moses, the serpent will bruise your heel, but you will bruise his head. And the sting of death struck our Lord, not in the hand, but in the heel. I'm grateful. Because only by this, the Lord could have crushed the head of the serpent in such a way. Satan was thinking, now I will just give him the sting of death. Yes, he missed it. When he gave the sting of death, then the head of the serpent was crushed, and the Lord redeemed us from the ban of Satan, of the curse. We have been redeemed. And we just can emphasize this word, that the Lord has sent forth victory, justice unto victory. At the crucifixion, it looked like then as if everything would have come to its end, as if everything would have failed. But through the resurrection, it was confirmed that this was the way of God. And it happened for you. It happened for me. It happened for us. Then we have the wonderful words in the Old and in the New Testament which speak about that the Lord will complete his work. In the Old Testament, it is in the prophet Haggai in chapter 2. And here especially verse 5 and 6, Haggai chapter 2, verse 5 and 6, and then of course verse 9, the promise verse 5, according to the word that I covenanted with you when he came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. The promises which the Lord has given at the beginning of the new covenant, at the leading out, they remain. And the Spirit of God is ruling in our midst until the last promise finds its fulfillment. Fear ye not. It's written here. For my Spirit remaineth among you. Dear brothers and sisters, the Spirit of God, who was hovering at the beginning over the deep, when God spoke all things into existence, this same Spirit of God is hovering over us. The same Spirit of God leads us into all truth. In verse 6, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth, and the sea and the dry land. He will do it. No prophet, no man of God, he, the Lord, our God, he will make the completion. Yet a little while. And this, in these days, we may emphasize now that what was written already in the Old Testament and also in the New, I will read it. It's now very near. It's very near. Yesterday, we just referred to it briefly, that 1 year has passed, in which so many things have taken place worldwide, in all areas, as it happened never before. This morning again an earthquake in Japan, 7 point on the magnitude. The earth is shaken. As God said it through the prophet Isaiah, it's moving like a hammock. Everything is happening before our eyes. Please do not forget it. The main thing is that the Spirit of God is above us, amongst us, and that he has influence on us, divine influence, so that all who are hearing the word are coming under the direct influence of God until we come from believing unto seeing. Then verse 9, in Haggai chapter 2, we are told, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. In the moment where the temple is rebuilt again, the glory of God will appear just as in the days of Solomon. It will fill the temple. But what is for us as the New Testament church? Ye are the temple of the living God. I will walk and dwell among you, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Almighty. In the restoration, in the restored church, when everything was restored, then the glory of God will come in a double portion. It will be manifested as it was manifested at the beginning. The greatest and the most powerful working of God will be at the end of the time of grace. It will take place in the bride church. And as Brother Branham has seen it, there extraordinary things will take place. The Lord, everything what He promised, He has the responsibility for it. I just have the task to pass on what is written in the Word and what the Lord promised. But the Lord Himself, He has the responsibility to fulfill every word, every promise. But when? Only in those who believe His promises. Let us believe what God promised. Let us not add one single member into the chain, but let us join promise to promise until the last promise is being fulfilled and the trump of God can sound and the Lord descends. The same word as we read it now is also written in the New Testament, namely in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. And here in a connection which really should touch our hearts. Hebrews 12, before we recite the word from Haggai in verse 26, let us firstly read what the Lord said in verse 25, in connection with verse 26. Hebrews 12, verse 25. See that ye refuse not him who speaketh, for if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. We have read it last night. In Nehemiah, the Lord came visibly down, but His voice sounded from heaven. Here the Lord speaks to us. He's no more in the body of flesh amongst us. He went up to heaven, and He will return bodily to take us home. But in the Spirit, He is present and He speaks to us. And I say it once again, please, let yourselves be brought under the divine influence of the Word and Spirit. Reject everything else, and you will see that as written here, you will not refuse him who speaketh from heaven to us, but that you will receive and that you will believe with all your heart. In verse 26 it says, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. Once more. Brother Branham, he preached a whole sermon about it. Lord, once more. Once more. Once more give the power. Manifest thyself once more. Confirm thy precious and holy word. Once more, his voice at that time shook the earth. Let us be honest. His voice went through all our bones. When the Lord speaks to us through His Word, and when the Word is revealed to us by His Spirit, then it really goes through the marrow of bone, and it cuts off everything else. And we are found in the Word of God. His voice at that time, His voice spoke to me. The Word spoke to me. We have come under the divine influence. And this is the powerful thing which distinguishes us from all the others in this time. In this time, to hear the voice of the Lord. Therefore, once again, verse 25, See, take heed, that you refuse not him that speaketh today, who speaketh now through his word and through his spirit to us. Those didn't escape. They had to pay for it because they didn't believe. Let us say it openly and freely. All those who cannot believe now, they will have to pay for it. They will have to bear the consequences. When God speaks, when God fulfills promises, then the moment has come that we believe. I'm always comforted, and it strengthens me always when I read that Abraham, from the first encounter with the Lord on, in Genesis 12, that he believed. Abraham believed God. Abraham obeyed God. And everything was counted unto him for righteousness. The seed of Abraham doesn't need any time to think about. It doesn't need any discussions. The seed of Abraham hears the voice of God through the Word and through the Spirit and believes with all its heart, just as the Scripture has said it. And when the Lord Himself said that He will shake the heavens and the earth, then He will, of course, do it. We redeem the time up to this moment to give the last message, to carry the word into all the world. So, brothers and sisters, let us not forget it, what is written here. See that you refuse not him that speaketh, who speaketh to us today, who reveals His Word and all the connections of His Word. Let us say it once again. As a whole chain, promise after promise, it is all joined together. We didn't put one member between it. We left everything in the divine order, and we may witness how the Lord has revealed all things and how He has led all things. For us who we are living now, let us read the word from Thessalonians, where we are told very clearly to us who we are living in this time. It's written here. And you all know, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 follows to that what is written in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And here it's written of the rapture, that the Lord Himself will descend, and the trump of God will sound, the voice of the archangel will sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we will be changed, and we'll be caught up together with Him, with them in the clouds. That's how it is written in chapter 4, verse 17. I will not go into detail, but our Lord, He went up in a cloud In Matthew 17, the voice of God came forth from the cloud. You can also read it in Mark chapter 9. The Lord of the Old Testament is also the Lord of the New Testament. Here in the body of flesh and there in the spiritual body. Everything happened for our sakes. And we may follow the scripture, not only the Old Testament, not only reading about the cloud which was accompanying the people of Israel. According to Revelation 11, also the two witnesses will be taken up in a cloud. It's the supernatural glory of God. In Hebrew, Shekinah glory. It's the presence of God which becomes visible. And in this visible but yet supernatural presence of God, the Lord revealed himself in the Old and in the New Testament. And therefore it's written here in plural that the rapture will take place in the clouds. Why? Because from all continents, the bride will be taken up. And then we are all together, meeting the Lord in the air, and then entering with him to the marriage supper. And here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul has written the words directly to us, 1 Thessalonians 5, from verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. Why writing? Why? We have the writings about that, what the Lord is doing before he comes. And this is the most important. I do not need to know day and hour, but I have to recognize the message of the hour, and I have to let God speak to me through his word. Concerning day and hour, you don't need any written instructions. He could not give it because he didn't knew it. And the Lord himself said, day and hour, no one knows, even the angels not. But then comes, of course, the wonderful from verse 2. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. He speaks of the day of the Lord. Then verse 3, for when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. So, everything was predicted, foretold, and we are really living in that time in which all this will be fulfilled. And if you all heard about it, everything is around Israel. There shall be peace and again peace and again peace. And if we include all the words of prophecy, if we look at it, then we really arrived in the last phase, which has to be fulfilled and which will be fulfilled. And we know how everything will come. We will not go into details here, but for me and for all of us, verse 4 is the most important thing. Verse 4, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 4. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day of the Lord should overtake you as a thief. We are not living in darkness. God has given light. And as Brother Branham time and again said it from Zechariah 14, there shall be light at evening time. As we read, the Lord went before Israel to illuminate to them the way on which they should walk. It has become light at evening time of the day of salvation. Before the midnight hour breaks forth, and before the cry becomes very loud, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Firstly, that's first. The last call, the calling out is first. It's addressed to the people of God. As in the days of Moses, "Let my people go, that it may serve me." All miracles which took place are in connection with this one sentence. "Let my people go, that they shall serve me." And then came the sacrifice of the lamb. The blood was shed. It was applied to the doorposts. And for us, brothers and sisters, it is not enough that we speak of a message. Time and again, we come back to the kernel, Jesus Christ, the crucified one, the Lamb of God. "Behold, this is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." And also here, the brothers are thinking about it. Why the Lord is shown once as lion and once as a lamb. Who are you? Who are you that you have to think about these things? He, of course, is son of Abraham. He is son of David, son of God, son of man. He is, of course, king, priest, prophet. He is mediator of the new covenant. He is advocate. And when he takes the book, and when he opens the seals as a lamb, then it's written that our names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Lion was not mentioned a single time in connection with the New Testament church. Always with the people of Israel, the lion from the tribe of Judah. Everything is written in the Holy Scripture. He is the Lamb of God. He is the lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the first and the last, who said, "Behold, I come soon." Just take every word as it is written and leave it and let it be revealed to you by God, by His grace. Here we are emphasizing it once again. "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness." Why not? Because God has given us light, revelation by His grace He has given. We heard His voice, and His word didn't return void, but it accomplished for what God has sent it for. Ye beloved brothers, ye beloved sisters, you who are you gathered here, and you who are hearing worldwide, we are not living in darkness. God has given light. He revealed the word, and we may walk in this light by His grace. Just rejoice. Dear brothers, let us include the sisters also. Ye beloved brothers, ye beloved sisters, you are not living in darkness that the day should overtake you as a thief. No, the Spirit of God has led us into all the truth by His grace. Then Philippians chapter 1, the apostle has written the following. Philippians 1, you all know, also in the Word of God, everything was put in an order. We just have to find it, and we have to put it into the right connection. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all discernment. And then we are told why this is necessary, why it shall be like this. Verse 10, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Brothers and sisters, also this has become only possible by the perfect sacrifice of the Lamb of God. Before that, he said, not my will, but thy will be done. Not as I want, but as you want. This is your prayer. This is, of course, my prayer, that we say, Lord, not my will be done, but your will be done. Not as I will, but as thou wilt. It's very simple to speak about the will of God. But we are here today to send a prayer up to God. Dear Lord, give me the grace to have the love to you, to your word, and give me the grace that I may approve things in every decision, in every situation, whatever may come, that in any case, let us read it once again. In the German it says, that ye may approve things that in all cases, in all situations which you are coming in, always it shall take place. That the Lord God comes to his right, and that the will of God happens. In every case, in every situation which comes along our way, across our way, that he may approve things in every situation. And connected with it, brothers and sisters, it's written in the same verse, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. So, a powerful word which God has given us on this first day of this new year, along our way, to approve, to examine all things with all of us, not becoming nervous, but just trusting the Lord, saying, Lord, be merciful to me. What would you do in my case? How would you decide in my situation? And if we really are sincere, saying it before the Lord in such a way, confessing it, then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will come upon us. And we will make the right decision in the presence of God. Just have faith. Just have faith. We belong to those who didn't refuse him who speaketh now to us. And we belong to those who believe every word of God, who take it to heart. Also the words which we just read now. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. How wonderful is the word of God. How perfect is the word of God. Examining, approving the things in every situation. Brothers and sisters, the word addresses me. Not only you, the word addresses me. The word addresses all of us, that we make the right decisions which we can stand before God at the return of Jesus Christ, that we can stand before Him, that there's no offense in us, nothing which can be between us and the Lord, but that we are just unrebukable, unblameable, without offense in the presence of God because of the finished work of redemption which happened on the day of, on the cross of Calvary. And here we have the threefold testimony: the Word, the blood, and the Spirit. We are just so grateful that we may accept this overall testimony. We are placed under the blood. We are safe here. Satan, the accuser of the brethren, the destruction angel, he has to pass by. And I say it once again. The Lord dealt with him only one single time. A second time, he will not deal with him. The Lord, just as the high priest, he has to point to the blood, which is on the mercy seat. And already then, the enemy has to go his way. So, there's no accusation for them, no condemnation for them who are in Christ Jesus. Let us read it once again, so that we don't forget it, and that we just ponder upon it in our hearts. Verse 10, that ye may approve and examine all things in every situation, whatever is excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. This is Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27. Ephesians 5, verse 27.
Um so die Gemeinde für sich selber,
that in this way he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Here we will think now humanly, is this possible? We stopped to think humanly. We are still on earth, yes. And Elijah was a man like we are. All the prophets, all men of God, they were men like we. But we are redeemed. We got in fellowship with God. The letter of requirements is torn into pieces. There's no accusation anymore. Everything is finished forever. Our Lord, on the cross of Calvary, he cried out, "It is finished." And with this, the redemption is perfect. Not only that, we emphasized it. We didn't refuse him who speaks now to us. By the Spirit of God, we let ourselves be placed into the Word and into the Spirit. We have the connections. Let us say it of the sermon of Brother Branham. Not a single member we have put into this chain of promises. And the chain which God has given will never break, because one promise merges and joins with the next one and with the next one. And then we are again with 2 Corinthians chapter 1. All the promises of God are yea and amen. Then we are again with Galatians 4 verse 28. Ye, my beloved brothers, are the children of promise, just as Isaac was it. Just grace. Grace is grace. One cannot deserve it. One just accepts it. And God said to Moses, to whom I will have mercy, I will have mercy on him. And to whom I will have compassion, I have compassion.
Nehmen wir das, was schon gesagt wurde, noch zu einer Bibelstelle.
Let us take another scripture from Romans chapter
8,
and we will summarize what the Lord wants to give us along our way for this new year which has started. Romans chapter 8. Many things are said. Also about the very natural creation, which is waiting that the sons of God are manifested. Which is waiting that although they are delivered from the bondage in which they were taken into. But then, addressed to us, addressed to all those who believe. Let us just read without that we make thoughts about it. Actually, the scriptures are so mighty in itself that one doesn't have to preach about them at all. One just can let him speak to himself. Here it's written, Romans 8, from verse 28. Let us receive it. Let us accept it. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Please permit me that I say something. Many times we have trouble to understand the things. We have trouble to place it, problems to understand that it serves for our good. Although it looks very terrible, how shall it serve for the good to us? If God said it in such a way, then it is so. Then verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Dear brothers and sisters, he became like us in the body of flesh. He was found in the fashion of man, so that we can become like him in the resurrection. Brothers and sisters, it's a perfect redemption, a finished redemption, which God has given to us in Christ Jesus our Lord. verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Just say amen. Them he also glorified. With God, all things is finished already. We are just waiting for the last moment where the last things will take place to then see the completion. But listen, listen what is written here, namely in verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who wants to lay a charge? Let us say it openly and freely. Every brother and every sister, whoever it might be, whoever comes on the scene as an accuser of a brother or a sister, he is under the influence of Satan, under the influence of the accuser of the brethren. And as we emphasized it before, let us be under the divine influence, the word, the blood, and the spirit. Let them work, so that we don't see the others and their mistakes, but that we look into the mirror of the Word and asking God that He is merciful to us, and that we believe with all our hearts that He will make all things well, that He really makes all things well with those whom He has chosen before the foundation of the world. Please accept it. Please receive it. And I'm asking you now, almost in a human way, did God know? He knew what He did when He has chosen you. And He has chosen you, yes. And if it is written that our names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, why are you worried about? Where is the problem? Believe. Believe with all your heart. And the faith is the assurance of faith that God has done and planned and decided everything before the foundation of the world with the redemption, with the Redeemer, with the redemption, with the redeemed, whatever He planned from eternity to eternity, and that in the course of time He brings His own plan of salvation to its completion up to the day of the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now the place here as the last scripture, verse 39. In Romans chapter 8, verse 39, no height, no depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
In Jesus Christus, unserem Herrn.
The love of God was manifested. It was a deed of redemption of the love of our God, which happened, which was manifested and happened for us on the cross of Calvary. And it's the Spirit of God who is ruling over us in this time. And we belong to those that what the Lord has to say to us through His Word, we are those who do not reject it, who do not refuse it, but who have an inner agreement to every word of God. Not a single word may be there which would cause resistance or opposition in you. To every word of God, may the Lord give grace that we have an inner agreement to every word, because we know God means well with us, and whatever He requires of us, this He will also give to us by His grace. We have nothing of our own. He gave us all things as written. How should God not give us all things in Him? Let us summarize how the Lord was with Moses, how he fulfilled promises at the beginning of the new covenant. I've said it here a couple of times. If Dr. Larkin counted rightly, at the first coming of our Lord, 109 prophecies of the Old Testament were fulfilled. Everything was written already. Everything what would take place, of the ministry of John up to the ascension of our beloved Lord and Redeemer. And every scripture was fulfilled. And our Lord said it in Luke chapter 24. Very clearly, He said that He started with Moses, with the Psalms and the prophets, and told His disciples everything and showed them the fulfillment. The same the Lord, the risen Lord, is doing today with us. And today, if we hear His voice, let us not harden our hearts. And all who do not harden their hearts, they will receive revelation by the Spirit in their hearts. In the moment where we believe what God said in His Word, then it is being revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. And then it can never be taken away from us. Then it's a gift of God. Let me emphasize it once again. In the moment where we believe God's word, God's promises, when we believe them, then the promises are revealed to us once for all. And no one can take us away from it anymore, because revelation happens forever. Revelation is eternal, not today and tomorrow it's gone. What God does is done for eternity. And therefore, we're just grateful also for the first day of this year that the Lord God is giving to us such wonderful scriptures along our way. I say it once again. May all be blessed with the blessing of the Almighty God. One has to emphasize it. Believe as the Scripture says. Believe what our Lord said. Believe. And it will be revealed to you. And then comes the fulfillment. Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but My Father who is in heaven. Let us read two verses. The words of God are just so powerful. One just cannot stop. No, the word of the Lord. The last verses here from Romans, chapter 16. Romans 16, verse 25. Now to Him that is of power to establish you according to My gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. But now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations, for the purpose to work obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen.
Und wir sagen Halleluja, Amen. Nichts haben wir dazu beigetragen.
Nothing did we contribute to it. Here it's written, to God only. Not you have the power, not I have the power. To God only. And he said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. We all need the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. And as written here, according to the preaching of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, tell me, in the 2,000 years of the church history, was there ever the opening of the seven seals? Did not God pull every curtain? Did he not reveal himself in every way in our time? That what was kept secret since the world began, this God has revealed to us by the words of prophecy, by the scriptures of the prophets. Hallelujah. Who, according to the commandment of God, made known to all nations. Made known to all nations. We proved everything with the word of prophecy. We placed everything upon it. We are just so grateful for such scriptures which were written 2,000 years ago, they are finding fulfillment in our time. We are pardoned by God. He spoke to us. We have understood His speaking. His words touched our hearts. We didn't refuse anything. We received everything. And the same Lord who started the great work, He will also complete it unto victory. As we read in Matthew 12, He will not cry in the streets. He is gathering His people. He speaks to us. He reveals to us His word and His will. To Him, the Almighty God, be the honor. I don't know how you feel, but we are feeling here the presence of God in our midst. Open yourselves to the Lord. Don't you worry. Believe. Believe as the scripture says. And then it will be revealed that the Lord is with us until we come from believing unto seeing. You, beloved brothers, you are not living in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. No. All of you, you are children of the light, children of the day. The Lord God, at the end of the day of salvation, before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes, He has visited us graciously. He has fulfilled His promise. And He revealed to us the word of prophecy, putting it upon the lampstand. God has done all things, whatever He promised. And He will also do the rest, which He promised to us. To Him, the only God, be the honor and the praise, now and forever. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Let us stand up. Perhaps the two sisters are coming, that they sing to us a wonderful song. We all will humble ourselves in the presence of God and saying, Lord, every word I believe, I receive every word. Whatever you have said, you have said it to me. I accept it. Let us be in reverence.
Als sinnend mein Leben ich heut überdacht, vernahm ich ein Wort in der Früh, das hat mich so ruhig und stille gemacht. Mein Jesus verspätet sich nie, das hat mich so ruhig und stille gemacht. Mein Jesus verspätet sich nie. Zwar sind unsere Wege oft krumm und verwirrt, wie soll es nun enden, sag wie? Doch hat sich der Heiland noch niemals geirrt. Mein Jesus verspätet sich nie. Doch hat sich der Heiland noch niemals geirrt. Mein Jesus verspätet sich nie. Und ob unser Herze vor Ungeduld weint, vom Ringen uns zittern die Knie, er bleibt unser großer und herrlicher Freund. Ja, Jesus verspätet sich nie. Er bleibt unser großer und herrlicher Freund. Ja, Jesus verspätet sich nie. So lautet die Lehre, die heute mir klar. Ich weiß nicht, das wann und das wie, doch hab ich ein seliges Wissen fürwahr. Mein Jesus verspätet sich nie, doch hab ich ein seliges Wissen fürwahr. Mein Jesus verspätet sich nie. Doch hab ich ein seliges Wissen fürwahr. Mein Jesus verspätet sich nie.
Amen.
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 Also in this song, the gospel was preached. My Jesus is never too late. Also in our time not. And as Peter has written, some some say that the return of the Lord should have come already. But God is not slack with his promise. He is waiting until the last ones are called. And when the number is full, then it's being fulfilled what God wanted to do. And then the trump shall sound. Are you grateful for the word of God? Was your drive worth it? May God bless you. May God bless you. In all neighboring countries. In all of Europe. All over the world. May God bless our friends in Canada, from Montreal, from Ottawa. Take all greetings with you, all who are here today. Just take greetings with you to all our brothers and all our sisters And also we are greeting from this place all our brothers, all sisters worldwide who are joining us online. Please ponder upon all the words which we read, which we heard. Ponder upon it in your hearts. Believe with all your heart, and the Lord will bring forth his work in victory. He will shake the heavens and the earth. He promised it. He promised it. And he will also do it. Let us sing the chorus which we have sung so many times, just as I am. And if there are still some who would like to consecrate their lives to the Lord, we will then ask that you will raise your hands. I love him, I love him. May the Lord God bless in all peoples, tongues, and nations who we are gathered here. May God bless you who are listening now. May God bless the translators in a special way. I'm convinced of it that the Lord spoke to us today through his word in a very mighty way. He has seen the inner agreement in all of us. We didn't harden our hearts, but we paid attention to him who spoke to us from heaven. Brothers and sisters, just think about the grace which God has bestowed upon us. In such a crazy time, also in the religious world, that God is calling us together, speaking to us, revealing the connections of his word to us by his grace. He who speaks to us from heaven, we didn't refuse him. We accepted his word. We got it revealed by the Holy Spirit. And as I said before, he who believes what God said in his word, to him it will be revealed. He who doesn't believe it, he's already judged. Our Lord said, if you don't believe that I am he, then ye shall die in your sins. If you don't believe that I am he, says the Lord today to us, he who speaks to us, then ye shall die of your unbelief. What did Brother Bram say from the very beginning? The original sin is the unbelief, to question, to doubt what God said. And when Brother Branham spoke of the chain, he emphasized, it was only one single word. which the enemy has put into this chain, the word not. God said, of all the trees you may eat. And the enemy said, of all the trees you may not eat. One single word in this chain, he put it there and it broke. Death came. Do not add any interpretation, not a single word, do not add it. As our Lord said, abide in the word, and the word will abide in us. Let us all consecrate our lives anew to the Lord. Perhaps I would like to emphasize here that this time we were very happy that a whole group came from Italy, many of them, for the first time. May God bless you. May God bless Brother Trapani. May God bless all brothers, all sisters who have come from Italy. May God bless all who came from all countries. May God bless you in all neighboring countries. May he be with his people in all tongues. Now, we will consecrate ourselves anew to the Lord. And brothers and sisters, when we were reading yesterday, at that time under Ezra and Nehemiah, when the people of God returned to Jerusalem, to the place where the temple stood, and all the connections, suddenly they all lifted up their hands. All who were present, they were praising the Lord with lifted up hands. In general, it said, Paul has written, I want that all that holy brothers lift up holy hands without anger and without doubt. Everything has its place. But on a day as this day, a day which the Lord made himself, where he spoke to us in such a personal way, laying his words into our hearts, shall we not all raise our hands now and our hearts, raising them up to God, giving him the glory and the praise, saying once again, singing, I love him, I love him. Let us raise our hands. Let us sing together. Thou art with. Dear Lord, you ever faithful God, you are still the same today. In reverence, we have heard your word, we received it, we believed it, and we got it revealed. Precious Lord, this is the day which you have made, and we thank you with all our hearts and with all our souls for it. Dear Lord, the whole church, all the redeemed, are consecrated to you for time and for eternity. And you have given the promise to be with us all the days until the end of the world, until we come from believing unto seeing. Dear Lord, I'm claiming, based upon the shed blood and upon the word and of the Spirit of God, I claim every bride soul, all who are part of the bride church, that they believe your word and that they get it revealed. Seal your word in your disciples. Oh, beloved Lord, you have done great things in all of us here. We worship you. Hallelujah. And all the people say, hallelujah. And all the people say, amen. So be it. Let us sing together. This is the day. This is the day. Blessed and praised be the Lord. Now I am reminded on Revelation 5, when the Lamb took the book, opening the seals. I just say it here for the glory of God. Brother Branham, he had a vision. And in this vision he saw that the Ewing Lane, that's the street on which Brother Branham lived. When the street would be widened and when the fence would be laid upon the grass, when the bulldozers would run up and down, then the moment has come that you will move to Arizona. Brother Frank, in December 1962, with his own eyes, he has seen the fence lying on the grass. With my own ears, I heard the bulldozers driving up and down. I have seen them on the Ewing Lane. And there, Brother Branham told me, Brother Frank, the Lord showed me a vision. Beginning of January, I have to move to Tucson, Arizona, where the Lord commanded me to go. And he asked me to preach in Los Angeles for Demas Shekarian. I didn't know him at all. He said, Brother Frank, speak in my state. And the meeting took place in Clifton Cafeteria in Los Angeles. I received many invitations. But it's just by the way, just think of it. Also, this God has laid in such a way that I, with my own eyes, I was an ear and eye witness of that, what the Lord showed in connection with the opening of the seals. When this takes place, move from Jeffersonville to Tucson, for the time is here to open the seven seals. And then on the 28th of February, there on the Sunset Mountain he was. And the seven angels came down in the supernatural cloud. And it was told to Brother Branham. Brother Branham said, the seventh in the constellation, he spoke to me and he said, return to Jeffersonville, for the opening of the seven seals will take place. When I think about this, brothers and sisters, there's not only one experience. There is a number. There are a number of experiences where I've been an eye and ear witness of what God has done in our time and promised. Just grace that the Lord has given us the connection to God, and then also the connection to that what God has done. A connection to God is always a connection to that what God promised and what God is doing. Another connection with God does not exist. Everything else is illusion, is a religion fantasy. What connects us to God is the Word and the promises which are revealed to us. Brothers and sisters, we found grace in the sight of God. We sing once again, Grace, Grace. We ask Brother Schmidt that he prays with us. Lord of heaven and earth, we thank you. I thank you for the grace and faithfulness. Just as we sang now, grace, grace, Lord. You have taken away all our sins. You nailed them to the cross. Lord, I thank you for all what you are doing, Lord. We just heard, Lord, I repeat it, to him, the only wise God, to him be the glory, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And then you said once again, I repeat the words which are written here
in
Jude 25. Him, the only wise God, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power. Brothers, sisters, I don't know, but here is a pearl, a treasure, which has been given to all of us. I repeat, to the only wise God, to the only wise God, besides him there is no other. Our Savior,
durch unseren Retter, Jesus Christus, oder unseren Herrn Jesus Christus, unser Retter ist.
Through him, through Jesus Christ, he became our Savior.
Unser Retter in Jesus Christus, himmlischer Vater.
Heavenly Father, I thank you. You know my heart, Lord. We thank you together that you have laid the foundation and that you himself are building the building. You are putting stone upon stone, putting it together with the love, praising you, the only true God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, I thank you. Please bless us. As it was said, Lord, bless in all peoples, tongues and nations, on all continents, bless. We ask it for your name's sake. The psalm writer says, not to us, but to you alone be the glory. Oh God, bless each one of us, great and little, young and old, and in particular, bless our youth, bless our children. Please keep them from all evil and give grace, Lord, that you are the first and the last one in their lives. For in you alone we have the salvation. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Brother Schmidt mentioned the youth. I just would like to say, we have also a shepherd's heart. And shepherds, they have also responsibility for the church, for the sheep. The word is written in the Holy Scripture. God has set various ministries, also shepherds, to you, young people. If you need counsel, if you need advice, and if when you don't know how things should go on, trust God. Trust to them. Trust them whom the Lord has set over you. God will be with you. God will be with you. All the ministries in the church, all the ministries have to do tasks. We are just available. We are available for you. May the Lord bless you all. May he be with you. They are brothers and sisters. They came from Nizza to be here, around 1,500 kilometers. God bless you in Nizza. God bless you in Lyon. God bless you in France, in all neighboring countries. God bless our brethren from the Netherlands who have invited me to come. God bless our brothers in all neighboring countries. May he bless you in the Czech Republic, Poland, Slovakia, in Romania, Austria, Hungary. May the Lord God bless in Switzerland. May he bless. Also in Uzbekistan, Brother Schmidt says right now, God bless. May God bless his people. I'm asking once again, has God's word fallen into our hearts? Say amen. Did it accomplish? Will it accomplish for what it was sent for? Say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Praise, honor, and glory.
Amen.
Amen. He blessed us.